Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Parish Church. A warm welcome to any visitors that happen to be with us here today. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. Our first one will be shared by Mrs. Fiona Lister. Now I would invite Mrs. Suzanne Bunton forward for Suzanne.
Good morning, everyone. I can't believe it's July already. Just to highlight a couple of things that are happening this week in the Children and Youth Programme. On Wednesday afternoon, we are having a story, craft and game session, and that's open to all children who are primary age kids. If they're four and under, they can stay, but we would need to stay with an adult. There'll be crafts ranging from, you know, for all age groups and say stories and games. And that's at the Church Centre between 1 and 3 this Wednesday. Also, we have on Tuesday night, we have our big red buses coming back to Kemeny. And this year, I decided not to try and travel around the village. We're going to be based solely down in Neil House Wells School. So that's happening on Tuesday night. Now, just to kind of highlight this, we advertise this on our word page, and normally I get, and I'm not very good with the technical jargon, but normally I get about 100 to 120 people who have seen this post. I checked this morning and 2,500 have seen it. So I'm not sure how many is going to turn up on Tuesday night, but one thing I am asking for is an appeal for some help. The volunteers do come with the bus. There's usually about 2 or 3 of them, and then myself and whoever is available to come along. So if you can spare a couple of hours on Tuesday night, could you see me after the service just to come along and just chat to the kids, maybe do a bit of craft with them or just see what the bus is all about. Just pop in and see what we're doing. It's really quite a crowd attractor for a Tuesday night. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Suzanne, for sharing that. A couple other intimations to share at the start of our time. One, just to note that this Tuesday's gathering of winnowers, our Tuesday morning Bible listening session, will not be taking place this week due to myself and Heather and our ministry interns from Methlic and here in Kemeny being away at Pliskarden. So this Tuesday we will not be meeting for winnowers, but we'll continue on as normal next Tuesday. Okay? A reminder about the coming Summer Kaylee on the 7th of July. That's coming fast. Suzanne, you weren't kidding about it already being July. The Summer Kaylee will be the 7th of July at 7 p.m. at the Church Center. Please bring your own refreshments for that, what I'm sure will be a wonderful and fun event. And also an intimation was asked to share about the Kemeny Park Flood Group. That Jim made mention of this a few weeks ago in church about a group being formed, a response group, a readiness group in case we ever, hopefully not, but ever face a kind of flood that we faced a couple Januaries ago. The list for signing up to be a part of this flood group is still in the back of the church. Is that right, Jim? So please do consider, if you're able and willing, to sign up to be a part of that. During the flood, we remember we came together as a community, and we helped and cared for one another. And so this group is an opportunity to continue that good work and a spirit of readiness to be of assistance in case such a thing ever happens again. So that's in the back of the church. Please do sign up or read the list if you're interested to learn more about it. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? With those shared, let us worship God through song with singing Hear the Call of the Kingdom. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's work here in Kemeny and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you. Loving God, so we sing, filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. In response to that call, we come here Sunday by Sunday to offer our worship. You urge us to go spread the good news everywhere, on the mountain, wherever, so that Jesus is known to be our Lord. And yet, Lord, you neither call us nor do you send us without guidance and reassurance. We give thanks and we pray for our minister Joshua and for David today as they continue over these weeks to open and unfold the challenges and the truths of these powerful scriptures. And we remember that Jesus too told us that he came to fulfill the law, but most important of all, to love you and to love one another so that all may bring peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Loving God, each of us needs and prays for forgiveness. For every time we forget and ignore your word, and for daring to think sometimes that we can do everything on our own. Be pleased, Lord, to receive all aspects of our worship this morning and grant your blessing on the gifts we bring, our money, our talent, and our service. And all our prayers in our heart and the spoken ones, we come before you with them in the name of Jesus, whom you send to redeem all who put their trust in you. And when Jesus spoke to us, he reminded us that when we gather together to pray, his words are, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you, Leslie. We continue to worship God through song by singing our next hymn together, "Blessing and Honor and Glory and Power."
Thank you.
This time I'd invite all children forward to join me on the steps for our children's time, if you're willing. Parents can come up as well. Come on up and have a seat. It's okay, Joshua. Hi, buddy. You want to come up? He's so regal. It's wonderful. Thanks, Heather. Come on up, pal. Last but not least. So I have a question for you. I have a picture to show you. See this picture here? Yeah, see that picture? Let's see.
Of sheepdog and
sheepdog. Well done, Sophie. See the picture? So maybe you can't see it out there, but it's a picture we have, and we heard it say of a sheepdog and sheep, but what's around the sheep in the picture?
A
pen. A pen, a sheep pen, right?
Yeah.
Why do you think the sheep are in the pen?
So they
don't run around the village. That's a very good answer, Sophie. Well done indeed. See, there's a road right here at the bottom of the picture, so there's maybe a concern that the sheep might get onto the road, maybe get hurt or get in trouble or run around the village and cause a mess, right? So the pen keeps the sheep safe, right? And we've been talking quite a bit about the Ten Commandments over the last few weeks, these wonderful 10 rules that God gives us to lead good lives. Mm-hmm. And each of these commandments that God gives is a bit like this fence, that it helps keep us in a certain spot. God's commands keep us safe and teach us how we should live our lives. And you know what? Today we're dealing with the fifth commandment, and this commandment deals, I think, especially in a special way with children. Any guesses what the fifth commandment is? Well, that's a good way of putting it, but it's a little more broad than that. It has to do with children and with parents, moms and dads. Maybe you've heard this commandment. Maybe your parents have told this to you before. This commandment says, honor your father and your mother. Do you think that's an important commandment?
Yes.
Yes? The answer is yes. This is a very, very important commandment, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Now, I have to tell you up front here that when I was growing up, sometimes I didn't do a very good job of that. Sometimes I didn't do a good job of honoring my father and my mother. You ever find it hard to obey your parents? Be truthful. Yeah, a little bit. That's fair enough. That's fair enough. We're all humans. And you know what? Once upon a time, our parents sometimes had a hard time listening to their parents as well. It's part of who we are as humans. But God is very clear that it's in our best interest to honor our father and our mother. Because he says in the same commandment, it comes with a promise to it. We honor mom and dad, and it says it will go well with you, and you will live long in the land, meaning that you will have a good quality life. If you listen to the wisdom that your parents have to teach you, do you learn the lessons they have to share with you, that you respect them as your moms and your dads, because someday we may have children of our own. That's a pretty crazy thought, isn't it? And you want them to honor and obey what you have to say as well, right?
Yeah.
So we set, yes, that's better than the alternative. So it's in our best interest to honor our moms and dads just as they honored their moms and dads before, and on it goes, because that makes God very happy, and that's what makes families work well together. When everyone honors and respects one another, when parents love their children and do what's right for them, and children honor and respect their parents and obey what they have to say. That's the best way to live, and it will save you so much pain and frustration. It will be so much easier if you honor your parents. So let's ask God through prayer to help us honor our moms and dads. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for drawing us here today. Thank you for our parents, for our grandparents, for our aunts and uncles, for our guardians, for all those who look after our well-being. Lord, help each of us to honor them and obey them. And help us to remember, Lord, that when we honor our parents and our families, we are really honoring you. So help us, Lord, every day to live into this commandment, to honor our moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, our whole family. Help us to do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. One of these times I'll just sit here and conduct the whole service. This is quite a nice place to sit. We continue now in worship together with singing our next song of praise, Lord, Reign in Me.
Children were going to stay in there for a minute. Which would be quite nice. The reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 20, reading verses 1 to 12. The Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, for the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea, all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then the second reading is over in the letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and that can be found on page 1177 in the Pew Bibles. Children and parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well for you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. God will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Adam. I continue now in worship together through song. We're singing together, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. This morning, it's our great pleasure to have our summer ministry fellow, Mr. David Hendricks, with us in worship as usual, but today, David will be preaching. So, David, we are delighted that you're here with us to share God's word with us. May the Lord be with you in this.
Thank you, Joshua. Please join me in a word of prayer. God, it's all about you this morning. You're the reason that we're here. May you speak through my words this morning and just draw all of us closer to you. Amen. So for the past couple of weeks, we've been doing a sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We are now on the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. But I think before we get into the commandment itself, it's good for us to have a framework to look at it through. So I want to talk a little bit about how to look at the law through the gospel. Something that we all need to be rooted in when we're looking at the law is the truth that we're not saved by living good enough lives on our own. We're only saved by God's sheer gift of grace. It's not by our own works. It's God's gift to us. And that happens through faith in Christ. The purpose of the law is actually to lead us into a life of goodness and freedom that God has designed for us. And we live into that law by God's power. We don't do that just on our own. In light of those truths, let's look at the fifth commandment: honor your father and your mother. As we get into this, I think it's good to look at the original meaning of the word honor. It actually means to make something heavy or weighty, and it's the same word used in the Old Testament for the glory of God, actually. And that's kind of a big deal when you stop to think about it. If we're using the same word to honor our parents is for the glory of God, I think that we shouldn't take our parents' authority lightly. We shouldn't take them lightly. We should respect them. We should esteem them. And we should really treasure them. I think we have to ask what it looks like to actually live out that ethic in our lives. And I think that it can look different ways throughout life. It doesn't look the same for a child as it does for an older person. I think for children, it might just look like obeying your parents without arguing. I know that when I was a little kid, my famous question was, why? Why? I don't want to do that. It was always challenging with a why, and I know that that really bugged my mom. But for teenagers, maybe it's just showing your parents love and respect in the way that you talk to them, in the way that you talk about them. I know in my own case, and with a lot of my friends, it's easy to kind of talk down on your parents. You get annoyed with them and stuff, and it's just something that we do. But I challenge us to honor our parents in the way that we talk with them. For adults, maybe it's just letting your parents be a part of your life. I know it's easy to move on to university or get a job and move out of your parents' home, and then you don't really have to see them anymore. You can just go on living your life. But I think there's a really beautiful way we can actually honor our parents by bringing them into our lives, letting them be a part of our lives. And I would encourage us to do that. And one of the other ways I think it could look is just taking care of our parents when they get older. We all get to an age in life where we just can't do things on our own. And it's easy to take the easy way out and kind of push our parents into a retirement home or something like that and say, I don't really want to deal with you anymore. Have fun. But I would challenge us to not do it the easy way. We can honor our parents by continuing to be a part of their lives, maybe when they need us the most. They just need everyday help and assistance. Before I move on, I just want to make it clear that as far as I've had opportunities to do any of these things, I've failed quite a lot. And I actually want to tell you guys a story about some of that. When I was in high school for about a year, I wanted to kind of, you know, had my little rebellious phase, you know. Basically, I thought it would be fun to start kind of sneaking around my parents and go to parties with my friends and drink with them and everything. And I knew that that wasn't the right thing to do. I knew that I was sneaking around my parents and I wasn't really honoring them when I was doing that. But I did it anyway. And I didn't think that that would ever come to a head, sort of. I thought that I was going to be fine. I could just kind of sneak around them and move on with life. But actually, it did come to a head at that point, one point. And that's the story I'm going to tell you guys. So actually, my parents were gone for a weekend. So that's the opening words to kind of a cliche. But anyway, I had a few of my friends over to my house. It wasn't a crazy party or anything, but it was having my friends over to drink. And I knew that that wasn't a good thing to be doing. But did it anyway. So at this point, my sister had already gone off to college and stuff, and my parents were totally fine with her having a glass of wine if she wanted to. But kind of comically, what ended up happening is my friends were all downstairs, kind of like out of sight at this point, but my sister and I were both in the front kitchen window. I was making a drink for myself, and my sister had her glass of wine or whatever. And actually, a family friend of ours walked right through the front gate. And you can see straight through the kitchen window from that place. So I freaked out and ducked behind the counter just as fast as I could and freaking out like a little kid. And my sister bit the bullet and she went to the door to actually go and talk to this friend. Thank you, Catherine. but anyway, it was kind of an awkward situation and eventually this family friend left. But we'd kind of figured out my parents probably put them up to this to check in on us. And not 15 minutes later, we get a text from this friend saying, you have to tell your parents about this or else we will. And my sister and I are going, uh-oh. And we both made actually the incorrect assumption that this family friend saw both of us, when in fact, actually they only saw my sister. They didn't even see me. And they thought that my sister wasn't allowed to do this, which she was. So I essentially freaked out, confessed everything to my parents, and got myself grounded. So that's kind of the story of me messing up a little bit with honoring my father and my mother. But actually, God ended up redeeming that situation too, because it was when I was grounded that my sister managed to rope me into coming to a Christian summer camp with her. And that's actually where I met Jesus. So God steps into our lives wherever we're at, even when we're not honoring our fathers and our mothers well. He still loves us through that. But I just want to emphasize after that part that this commandment to honor our father and our mother isn't something that we grow out of. It just looks differently at different stages in life. It takes different shapes. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul adds sort of these words to, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. And I think that it's worthwhile for us to think about what does it mean to obey our parents in the Lord. One way that I've thought about that is obeying your parents in accordance with the Lord. Basically, obeying your parents in a way that doesn't contradict the will of God for your life. And this is really unfortunate, but for some kids, they face situations where they have to choose between obeying their parents or honoring God. And God forbid that that situation arises, but if it does, then children have to put God first. Because there are family situations where parents don't share the faith of their children. And they might ask their kids to do things that they just can't do in faith. But I think that there's also an opportunity there for the church to help, because we can be mentors and spiritual leaders to kids who don't have that in life. We're probably getting to the point where we're realizing that this is kind of a difficult thing, and I think it's worthwhile to ask, why would we actually want to follow this? This kind of sounds like a pain. I don't really want to. And both Exodus and Ephesians kind of answer those questions with a promise. God tells us in the fifth commandment that if we honor our fathers and our mothers, he says, do this so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And Paul adds in Ephesians, so that it may be well with you. So living into this commandment actually has an effect with our personal well-being. Like all of the commandments in the law, God has given us the fifth commandment to help us flourish. When we honor our fathers and our mothers, we're strengthening core relationships in our lives. And when we honor our fathers and mothers, we're also strengthening our families and strengthening our communities. And that's a blessing. That's salt and light in a broken world where there are a lot of broken families. And I think it's also worth pointing out that we can all benefit from our parents' life experience. I know that I don't always like being told, don't make the same mistakes I did. Don't do that. But our parents have gone through a lot of things and they have wisdom to offer us. So we don't have to make the same mistakes that they did or go through the same pains that they did. But we'll probably just make our own mistakes and tell our kids the same thing. Paul offers another reason that we want to follow this commandment in Ephesians. He says, for this is right. It's just the right thing to do. And I think that this is actually the most important reason for us to live into this commandment, is just that it's God's will for us. It's God's will for our lives, and it's right in his eyes. And the truth is that when we honor our fathers and our mothers, we're actually honoring God. And that's a profound truth. But this command doesn't just end with children honoring their fathers and their mothers. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul instructs us to be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this sort of weaves through the entire section of Ephesians where he's giving instructions to families about how to honor God in the family with husbands and wives and with children and parents. And so Paul actually gives instructions to parents about how they can parent in a Christian way. The first thing that Paul asks parents to do, he says, do not provoke your children to anger. And that sounds a little bit cryptic, a little bit oddly worded. So I think it's worth kind of unpacking that. I think that a couple ways that parents can provoke their children to anger and frustration is just being overbearing and overcritical. That can bring children to exasperation. I've heard a term before called helicopter parents, and it's this idea that the parents are kind of hovering around with their little rotor super close to their kids' lives and hyper-scrutinizing every little thing, and they're just suffocating their kids in that way. I've heard another word for it that's kind of comical, actually, called curling parents. And if any of you know what the sport of curling is, you basically have this block and you huck it down like an ice path, and you're kind of going along and scrubbing in front of it. But the idea is that you're scrubbing this ice out of the way so that you can be the one guiding each little minute direction for this block. And I think there's actually a way that parents can fall into this trap of treating kids like mindless blocks and then you kind of steer them through life one way or the other. And I don't mean to condemn that either, because I think that that happens out of love. Parents don't want to see their kids make mistakes or get hurt. And so sometimes they can fall into the trap of just getting a little bit too close to guiding every little decision that their kids make. But there's also danger on the other end of the spectrum, I think. I think that parents can sometimes just be absent from their kids' lives, or maybe they fail to set boundaries at all that are going to be good and life-giving for their kids. And that can really be destructive, too. So there's dangers on either end of the spectrum here. And I think we just have to ask, how do we avoid that? How do we find a balance here? And I think Paul gives us good advice for that. He says, instead of doing that, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what does that mean? The word, the original word used for bring them up, actually means to nourish or feed. And the words used for training and instruction kind of convey this need to give counsel, to give warning, or to correct and punish when necessary. And you kind of see that there's a balance here. On the one hand, there's this tenderness of bringing kids up and helping them grow into the people that God has made them to be. But there's also times where boundaries need to be set and corrections need to happen where kids are getting off track. And if we care about them, we have to set boundaries to set them right, in the right direction. And I think that this balance has to be something that's spirit-led, because it's all too easy for all of us to go one way or the other, to tend towards the curling parents or to just not be there at all. I think that God is faithful in giving us direction in that. Again, this is starting to sound kind of difficult and hard and a burden. I mean, I'm not a parent, so I can't imagine the struggles and, yeah, just the trials that come with parenting. But I think we have to ask, why? Why do we do this? Why do we parent in a different way than other parents? Why do we parent in a Christian way? And I think part of that is that honoring parents, just as honoring parents is a part of discipleship for a child, I think that for parents, raising children in a way that is of the Lord in a Christian way is a part of their discipleship. We can't isolate parenting from faith when we're Christian parents. It has to affect it. Because ultimately, just as parents are honoring God by honoring, just as children are honoring God by honoring their fathers and mothers, parents are also honoring God by raising their children. I think the other main reason, and maybe this is really the underpinning reason for these verses in Ephesians, is to raise children who know and honor God. In families where both children are honoring their parents and parents are raising their children in a Christian way, that is how faith gets passed down through generations. And that's God's will for our communities, for our families, for generation after generation to come to know and love him. And at the end of the day, it's ultimately each child's responsibility, their role, to come before God in faith, to accept his offer of relationship. But I think that parents can play a really important role in guiding a kid on the right path. And I think, again, we're getting to the point where if it's not pretty clear already, these are really hard commandments to follow. None of us, in fact, can really do these things that we're commanded to do on our own. We all fall short. The name of this sermon is Family to the Glory of God. And I think part of that is a reminder that we all fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. There's only been one person ever who didn't fall short of the glory of God, but actually embodied the glory of God. And that person is Jesus Christ. Jesus perfectly embodied the law, but that wasn't the end of his mission on earth. He wanted us to experience the freedom of being God's image bearers, of living into this good law, and he knew that we couldn't do it on our own. So what Jesus did is he made an ultimate embodiment of the law, of this commandment. He honored his Father in the most ultimate way that anyone could imagine. He followed his Father's will to die on the cross for all of us. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus says, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was willing to lay down his will so that he could follow his Father's will. And it's because of that surrender, because Jesus honored his heavenly Father, that each of us can live into this commandment in freedom and experience the abundant life God has for us. By Christ's atoning sacrifice and by the power of his Spirit, he's actually raising us. In fact, just the same way that Christian parents are raising their children, Christ, by his Spirit, is raising up each one of us. We're new creations in Christ. The old has passed away and the new has come. And I think that this is one of the most profound truths in our faith, that Christ is actually being formed in each of us. He's raising each of us up and making us look more like him every day by the power of his Spirit. I think that all that remains for us to do in this is to seek Christ, Christ who's at work in us, who is helping us to live into this commandment and be conformed to him. When we seek Christ and when we seek to live into this law, our feeble attempts that would fall short are strengthened by his power at work in us. So let's honor our fathers and mothers. Let's raise our children in the Lord by the power of Christ who's at work in us. Amen.
Well said, David. We've heard that the commandments of God are grace. We've heard it said this morning that Christ is being formed in each and every one of us. We live that out through God's commandments. In the light of Christ's presence in our lives, we cannot and we will not ever be the same again.
Let us come before God with our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we know that you govern and rule over all things, and that you will bring all things to serve your purpose. But in this world we see so much that is wrong, and so many that are suffering. Help us to trust in your great mercy and providence, and hear us as we pray for others and for your world. At a time of unrest and violence in so many nations, we pray once more for peace to reign in your creation. We ask that your Spirit would grace and enlighten places where there is suffering. We pray that those living in pain and in fear would see consolation, that those promoting peace would be reinvigorated in their work, that those seeking violence would see that it has no purpose and no future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At a time of dissent and division in so many churches, we pray once more for peace to come to your church. We ask that your Spirit would inspire and empower all the people of God. We pray that the gospel of the church would be proclaimed clearly, that the faithful would be strengthened in every way, in every place, and that the blessing of God would once more fall upon our minister, Joshua. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At a time when our schools are closed for the summer break, we pray for our children and for those who teach them and look after them. We ask that your Spirit would provide restoration and refreshment. We pray that our children would be safe and happy over this holiday, that our teachers would find renewal and relaxation in their break, that our parents would cherish their time with family this summer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. At a time when so many whom we know are in need, we pray for those for whom today is another day of toil. And so we pray for those who are sick of mind or of body, for those who are anxious or afraid, for those who are without work or motivation, for those who are bereft of joy or of energy, for those who are mourning. We pray particularly this morning for the family of George Taylor. We ask that your Spirit of life would fall anew upon all people who are toiling this day and would ease their burdens. And we take just a moment to pray for those closest to our thoughts at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, gracious Lord, we pray for ourselves. We ask that your Spirit would come upon us this day and this week, that we would be fit witnesses of you and your kingdom, that we would be consoled and enthused. And we ask that you would bring us at the last to be at home with you, with all our loved ones who have gone before, in that kingdom where you have prepared a place for each one of us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Everything we do here in church, all of our singing, all of our praying, all of our preaching, it's all about Jesus. And so with that in mind, we sing our closing hymn of praise to Jesus, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Honor your father and your mother. Jesus Christ has fulfilled this command perfectly in honoring his father. By his power, he draws us to himself, helping us to become and to live as children of God. So go forth from this place today. Honor your fathers, your mothers. Care for your children. And in doing so, bear witness to the gospel in real and powerful ways. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.